Our gospel for this Sunday in Epiphany comes to us from the first chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Now in this Epiphany season, we hear the different stories of how God, you know, we see Jesus as the Son of God and how we respond. The last 2 weeks have been call stories. First we had John where, Jesus used terms that no recruiter ever probably used. Come and see. Follow me. Now, last week in Mark, he went to two pairs of brothers and said, I'll make you fishers of men. And they did it, including the brothers who had to tell their dad, sorry, dad, we're done helping you. We're going to go and follow this guy. And now Jesus walks in. He comes to Nazareth, and it is the Sabbath, and he goes to the synagogue. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? How have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed and kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. As we enter the end of January, how many of you are still holding on to your resolutions? Crickets, crickets, crickets. I have one. I decided I was going to redo my office with Velcro. I thought it was a resolution I could stick to. Now, I know with all the high expenses that are happening even in the retail world, Hallmark has decided to start up a whole bunch of mobile card shops, kind of like food trucks and stuff like that, which I thought was an interesting choice since they're just pretty stationary. A friend of mine decided to take some of his wife's very nice scented watermarked paper to try and make a paper airplane out of it. And he threw it in the air, it just hovered there like a helicopter. And he thought that was pretty amazing. Then he realized he used stationery. And with the cold weather as of late, I decided to make soup. I found a toy at the bottom of my Campbell's soup. It was a real soup prize. Now, I understand that the last 2 weeks you have been bereft of these highly intellectual jokes as Pastor Richard came in and did a phenomenal job in my stead. And since he kept you from having a bunch of them, I did some research and found a few more. No? Okay. Well. Surprise, I didn't do it. But what's a surprise? How many surprises do we have in life? Some people are surprised that they wake up in the morning. You know, as one grandfather once said, the greatest surprise is waking up on the right side of the lawn. We have all kinds of surprises in life. One of the surprises is, hey, Pastor stopped with the bad jokes for the moment. But think of all of the surprises that we have that are in store for us in each and every day that comes to us. But also, think of the surprises that we engage every time we open up something in Scripture and we go, what? Again, the surprise of Jesus being any kind of success in recruiting people to follow him with just simply saying, hey, come and see. Or, I'll make you fish for people. What does that even mean? And yet, they did. And then he steps into the synagogue, which that shouldn't be a surprise. It's the Sabbath. It's what you do. And he taught. That's somewhat surprising. Normally, you only handed that kind of position to someone that you knew. And he taught them. And then the surprises really started happening. Who is this guy? This new teaching with authority? Really? Not like the scribes. And then a man with an unclean spirit cries out in their midst. And the people aren't surprised. But they're surprised that Jesus is able to command this unclean spirit to get out. Surprise. Who is this guy? I'm often asked the question, Pastor, why is it that we don't see miracles like we used to? Is it because with all the advances in science and technology and math, that a lot of the stuff that people just kind of considered a miracle before have been kind of explained away? As if somehow God cannot work with medicine and science and technology and all that kind of stuff in the first place? Or is it the fact that really I wonder how much we miss because we are not paying attention or we're looking for the wrong things? The gospel today. Jesus brings some teaching in and doesn't have a problem. There's no conflict. There's nothing that goes wrong. Even when he heals someone on the Sabbath, isn't that a big no-no? No one cares. No one there cared. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 3 right in the beginning, and I referenced it in the devotion that came out in the email with all the stuff yesterday, all of a sudden it becomes a big deal. Because the scribes and the Pharisees are there because there is a right way to do things. And Jesus is kind of like, what? Really? But how often do, because we have in our minds, this is how it will be done, this is how it should be done, this is how, this is the process, these are the steps, follow the rules, that then we can't see anything because of course it happens outside of that. And read John chapter 9 for another example of that. We can't see it. And the only thing we're surprised by is if there's a miracle. The miracle often is that something happens in spite of the rules. But also notice that just fundamentally, this person with an unclean spirit was in the synagogue, and no one had a fit over that. They were not surprised by that person's presence. There's no mention of it. It wasn't a deal to them. It's kind of like, have you ever gone to an AA meeting? Or something else like that. And someone in the middle of the AA meeting all of a sudden stood up and went, oh, wait a minute, there's an alcoholic here. But how often do we in church, because we like to keep church peaceful and stress-free and a whole bunch of other things, we're somewhat shocked if there's someone who's broken in the midst? And what I mean by it is this. How often do we end up keeping our baggage at the curb when we walk into a church? Because the expectation is church is the no drama zone. Church is the place where we put on our Sunday best. Not just our attire, but our outward demeanor. Hey, how are you doing? Fine, thank you. Can't complain. Living the dream. Have you ever realized the fact that that response begs the question, what kind of dream? Because a nightmare is just a kind of a dream, folks. But how often is it that we don't? Because we have these cliche answers to protect ourselves, and possibly because we don't want to discuss it with the other person for whatever reason. Possibly because the expectation of, hi, how you're doing, is just a basic cliche question, and the proper response is something along the lines of fine, and nothing more. And yet, into that synagogue stepped someone with an unclean spirit. And it didn't have fit. There wasn't a problem. It wasn't a big deal. The thing that they were amazed by is something actually happened. I would like to see more amazement over people being able to bring in their stuff and their junk and their garbage and find new life in Christ here. That we're not trying to protect and defend some kind of sense of peace. That there's this bubble. Because this is us. We have our things. You know? I know many of you kept your bags at the curb before you came in. Because that's what we're expected to do. Don't bring it up. Don't rock the boat. Nice, peaceful. It's like I come here for an hour of sanity and then I go back out into the mess. But the reality is our ability to be here is to help to heal so we can go back out. You might be surprised how often I park my stuff at the curb. I know how tough that is. Because there's expectations. The miracle happens if we let it happen. The surprise is this person, this Son of God, this Jesus that we proclaim as Savior, has authority to do some amazing stuff. And it's not just the authority that we tend to look for. And maybe that's why we miss some of those miracles. Our idea of authority seems to come from power and might and always doing right. Don't admit mistakes. Don't take blame. Just keep going on. The problem is that's no different than faking it until you make it. And as we all know, that you keep faking it, you never really make it. When does the healing come? When does the restoration come? When does the improvement come? But oftentimes we look to those that seem to have their act together, or at least seem to have enough power that nothing seems to bother them, and we think that's authority. And yet here comes Jesus, who just comes in and he's bringing the word of God. And he's sharing the fact that the kingdom is near. Not that you have this 12-step program, 20-step program, or however many sermon series to get from here to where God wants you to be. The kingdom is near. Believe the good news. That he's present in our midst, in our junk, in our stuff, to bring wholeness and healing and restoration, new life. There's a reason why the symbol of our faith is a cross and not a sword. Because it came about from service, sacrifice, love. And out of this, new life comes. The gift of restoration and healing. Will we take the authority that Christ gives us for these tasks and hold them up to heal, to restore out of love and forgiveness that he gives us Because he knows the junk we carry. He knows what we have. He knows what we face. Even if we keep it out there or bring it in here, he knows, and he's with us here and he's with us out there. Seeking to heal and restore in such a way that then we're called to take that with us. Nothing else, that's the baggage we're supposed to be carrying. Love, forgiveness, hope. And we take that with us. In the waters of baptism, do we believe the fact that we are washed clean? And that promise is not just done once, but every day. But also, do we realize that in that claiming and in that washing, we are also then given a charge. We're given a light to shine that shines forth in love and hope and peace and healing and restoration, in the belief that there is new life because you have it. And it is a gift. Surprise! You have it too. It doesn't matter how young or old you are too. Each and every day is a new day. Each and every opportunity is another chance for new life by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, who comes into our midst with authority to tell us, you are a beloved child of God. Go and restore and build. And so may you remember this gift. May you remember his presence. May you remember that authority and what you are called and given to do and use as you go out. And may you be surprised by how you feel when you leave that baggage. And instead, carry on in love and hope and new life. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.